All right, so we're continuing on with Inside Out. We're investigating how people in the real world use our technologies and what kind of creative things they're up to. Today we're with a few folks from a company that makes games, online games, social media, that are taking advantage of some of the capabilities of Windows Azure. So please introduce yourselves.
I'm John Wusso. I'm a server client developer for Sneaky Games.
Yes.
I am Mark Borland. I'm the director of technology for Sneaky Games. I'm also a developer.
Excellent. Yeah. So let's jump right into this. I mean, what are you guys doing with Azure?
Well, we make games on Facebook.
Yep.
Social games, or mobile games as well. We use Azure for all of our back end and server hosting, and you know, keep all of our data in the cloud and everything. Mm-hmm. Our client is a Flash client, so we have Flash with AS3 communicating to a WCF web service. So it's REST-based service, basically. So all the commands are batched up, sent up, and mm-hmm. processed by the server, send all the responses back, processed pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. We're using blob storage for all of our game data and player data.
Okay.
So we started out using SQL Server Azure for all of our data, and it didn't really work for us.
Okay.
Since we're doing client server stuff, and we started out with the farming genre of game, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with. There's a lot of transactions going on there, so you're planting, you're harvesting, you're moving things around, a lot of decoration. When we were hitting SQL Azure, it was too transactional for it to handle the requests, and so we would get throttled. Mm. And so it would just stop responding, and that wasn't very good. Yeah. Game goes down because the data is not working. So we switched over to blob storage. We've had some learning curves as we go, but I think we've got a really solid engine now that scales really, really well, and we're really happy with the performance of it so far.
Great. And so take us a little bit through more with the architecture and the kind of the dev work that you had to do to pull this off.
So I think Mark touched on the fact that SQL Azure didn't really meet our needs,
mm-hmm.
and we moved quickly to blob storage. And blob storage really, really gives us the performance that we need. I think the thing that we were most interested with Azure is the sort of instant scalability that you don't get with any of the other cloud services.
Mm.
So the fact that you can just on the fly sort of increase the number of instances that you have, if you've built your application in the proper way, mm. you can just sort of spin up multiple instances. I can go from 4 servers to 10 servers in a matter of minutes, and that's really impressive. And I think that's one of the things that we were most interested in when using Azure.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have to do some specific development for Azure.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten tricky with Azure queues to do asynchronous commands without sort of with only having one person writing to the blobs at a time. So we've actually had architecting that was challenging but fun and.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good. So multiple reads, single writer.
Yes.
Yes.
And that, that's sort of a classic pattern that you have to deal with. And
absolutely.
You guys are using C# on the
yes.
back end?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So.
And so the interoperation between ActionScript, which is the language that you use to program in Flash, right? The scripting language.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And WCF, how does that work?
We have a layer that sits on top of WCF. It's a open source library called WCF Remoting.
Mm.
Basically allows us to serialize into the AMF format that Flash knows about. And so it allows us to take our game objects on the server in the C# code, serialize them in a way that Flash can read them and reinflate them on the client.
Cool.
And use it that way.
Nice. What's your most popular game, just out of curiosity?
Currently, it's the game that you see behind us.
Okay.
It's a game called Vampire Legacy.
Nice.
It is an action RPG.
Mm.
I feel like we're trying to innovate the RPG space on mm. Facebook.
Cool.
This is more of a classic RPG that you're going to see. Has a lot of random elements. Gear is randomly generated when you see it, so you're never, ever going to see the same piece of gear twice unless you got incredibly lucky.
Okay.
We do have a couple of premium items that are the same.
Okay.
But gear is randomly generated. You have stats just like you would normally see in an RPG that you can sort of customize your character with.
Mm-hmm.
You have physical skills that you can train, and you can focus on physical. You can focus on something called arcane, which is, you know, your traditional magic.
Okay.
And then we also have another type of magic called spirit, which is more of your AoE area of effect, sort of affect all of your enemies. So you can see in the screenshot that you fight multiple enemies at a time, and so you can do some really interesting things with that.
We're trying to keep it very story driven.
Okay.
So there's a lot of story content in there. We're also trying to bring out some new interaction between players. Mm. So I mean, we've got player versus player combat. Pretty soon, we're going to be having raids and clans and. Mm. Won't go into a whole lot of detail
because
it's still under wraps a little bit. But yeah, we're going to be pushing a lot of the features that you see in MMOs these days. We're going to try to bring those into the social space. You know, obviously it's going to change because we've got to apply it to the Facebook. The type of stuff you can actually host in Facebook.
So now you guys are hosting your games in iframes, right? So
yes.
What's the problem with you just sending down whatever you? Explain what you just. So an iframe sort of excludes you from the container, and it's a web page inside of another web page. Therefore, the information you send down into that web page is somehow Facebook able to filter that and block it. I mean, that's a security violation.
Basically,
so
all we get from Facebook is that the user is authenticated with Facebook, and we're allowed to. Ask for information about the user, like demographic stuff, who are their friends. Obviously, we use the friends list to match up with other players that are also playing the game, and so it builds up your friends list on the bottom of the game, that
kind
of thing.
So I'm not really a multiple, whatever MMO stands for, I'm not a gamer, you have
right.
to forgive me.
So that's massively multiplayer online game?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Which sounds great for Facebook.
Absolutely.
So, World of Warcraft. Is okay. kind of the standard for that these days.
All right.
So so the iframe, so Facebook just allows us to use what's called the canvas URL, and basically they just load in whatever data comes back from our servers.
Mm.
So Facebook uses OpenAuth 2, so OpenAuth 2.0, which I think a lot of people are familiar with access control services that are available in Azure, and so. All we have to do is get an access token from Facebook, and we trust Facebook that, yes, this person is authenticated, and you have to log in through Facebook if you want to see our game. And then we just basically have free reign to do communication between the Flash game and our servers.
Sure.
And Facebook doesn't really even know anything about the communication between our game servers and the Flash client.
Right.
So now what happens if I want to play a game with someone who's not my friend? Is that easily done?
At this point, you have to become their friend on Facebook.
Now, if you are fighting in the player versus player arena, you're going to be randomly associated with any player, whether they're your friend or not.
Mm-hmm.
And
But to do cooperative type play, it has to be a Facebook friend.
Absolutely.
Now, the other social network out there, Google Plus,
mm-hmm.
or whatever they're called, is that what it's called? G+?
Yeah.
Google
yes.
Plus?
Google Plus, yeah.
Do they have the same sort of...
At this point, their developer program is not nearly as full-featured as
sure.
Facebook. I've looked into it, and it has been a little while, and they might have released something new since then, but the last time I looked, they would allow you to look up information about the user, but they wouldn't let you do things on behalf of the user, such as Facebook lets you make a stream post to the user's news feed or make a request from user to user. On behalf of that user, so we can post that, obviously with the user's permission, that they accomplished some achievement within the game. So it says, hey, I'm bragging to my friends, that kind of thing. The last time I looked, Google Plus did not allow that.
Sure. I mean, I only really brought that up because they kind of have a different notion with their circles and their blah, 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 that you have sort of, in this case, it would be nice to be, I know people who play Facebook games probably too much, But it would be nice to be able to have sort of these little clans that you're either or your aren't your friends, because mm-hmm. I mean, your friends should be your friends, not some Absolutely. Random dude that I'm blowing up in a game.
Right.
That's by my side blowing up other people. So I mean, there is some need to create new groups.
So Facebook has actually implemented a feature called Lists.
Great.
Which is very similar to Circles.
Okay.
And it actually allows you to do custom privacy settings so that if you want to post about your evening or post about something that's going on personally with your friends, you can do that to your friends, and you can actually post game-specific things to your game-specific list.
Perfect.
So you can. So they're actually implementing a Circles-type feature.
Great. I love how competition always forces yep. everybody competing to do the right thing.
And the other problem with Google Plus is that their developer platform for now has been closed, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Facebook has had rather an open developer platform, free for everyone to use, and Google Plus currently is invite-only.
Sure. Right. All right, so back to what really matters, and that's Azure
right.
in this context.
Absolutely.
What's it been like? So, I mean, I understand the sort of the, when you think about using a SQL server, usually there needs to be, you know, you want to have object relational kind of complexity in your design.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes sense to use blob storage, or even why not use like a NoSQL kind of thing for this sort of world?
John addressed that.
So, blob storage is essentially a NoSQL solution, and its scalability is handled solely by Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually do use Mongo running inside of Azure. We actually have a creative solution for running Mongo inside of Azure, and it's actually worked really well for us, and that's basically our index of players so that we can handle customer service reports and any time that, I mean, obviously there are errors that occur, mm-hmm. and so if you didn't get the gems that you bought in our game, then we'll obviously compensate you for them and replace them. So we use Mongo for that. But the performance that we get out of blob storage and the fact that each blob itself can be sharded on its own on the sort of in the background, and it's something that we don't have to worry about, is something that we were really looking for. With Mongo, I would have to stand up instances and handle the cluster on my own, and I would much rather spend more time developing than dealing with sharding of a database.
Excellent, man. I mean, that actually brings up a really good point, because often when you kind of hear the marketing behind, you know, Windows Azure and stuff, and the promise of the cloud, and the fact that the IT departments are going to get smaller, or they don't have to learn new things, or grow, or whatever. It's also about developers. So as a developer, I don't have to be an IT pro, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take this and have someone else deal with that. And I mean, in some sense, I like that story even more, because, you know, maybe I have a bias towards developers, but in some sense, it kind of makes sense that exactly what you said. I just want to deploy my app and have it work. I want, you know, not to have to be a database person to understand, you know, what's going on in the background. Just be performant and scale, and let me do my algorithms.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons why we chose Azure over something like the Amazon Web Services, because we don't want to field an entire IT staff just to manage our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're a real small company. We got 25 people. Most of us are developers and artists. And we want to focus on making great games.
Sweet.
And so, you know, Azure allows us to just let Microsoft handle that. That's not where we're experts. We're experts at writing code and making great games. And so we'll let y'all handle that and just not worry about it.
Cool. Well,
I never want to have to deal with an F5 load balancer on my own.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to deal with Elastic IPs. I don't want to have to deal with any of that on my
sure.
own. I don't want to have to RDP into machines all the time
yeah.
and stand up new boxes. I want to push a button. I want to push one button, mm-hmm. which is how we do it. We push one button. It does auto deploy. I can put servers into the staging slot or the production slot, depending on my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can VIP swap. And I can VIP swap in the middle of the day. So actually, this is a point that I want to bring up just on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our updates happen in the middle of the day when I'm at work, because if something goes wrong, I can solve the problem right then.
Mm-hmm.
And because of VIP swapping, I can push out an update without having to bring my game down. So our game is up as much as humanly possible.
Excellent.
And I think that's an important feature of Azure, that VIP swapping is really not anything that any other cloud provider has.
Interesting. Right mm-hmm. on, man.
Our game, Fantasy Kingdoms, has been out since March, or is it April, of 2010. And we've probably had about 20 to 24 hours total of downtime since then.
Nice.
and we've been live the entire time. So
rock and roll.
That's a good.
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of super, super smart people working on Azure, and they're very passionate about making sure that that's the case.
Yes,
absolutely.
And it's really cool to see people doing interesting things with our with the cloud operating system. So, thanks for coming on C9.
Yeah,
and keep on making cool games. I mean, I'm Facebook, you're going to be easy to find.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yes,
Vampire Legacy.
Right on, man. Vampire Legacy, and of course, your company,
Sneaky Games.
I like that name.
Yes.
Rock and roll.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot
for coming on.